you ever noticed how time doesn't make any sense? Like sometimes it flies by, like when you're binging your favorite show. Other times, it drags on forever. Like that last class before the weekend. Maybe you've experienced a long day, but the school year passed in a blink. But when it comes to the topic of our series, forgiveness, suddenly there's only one speed for time, slow. We're happy to take time when we've been wronged and we want to process it. But it's hard to give time to others when we want them to forgive us. One time, I accidentally shared a friend's secret. It wasn't malicious, like I just forgot. I was the only one who knew. Oh, but the moment I realized what I'd done, I felt sick. I apologized right away, but my friend needed time. Another time, a close friend let me down big time. They apologized and, you know, logically, I knew they meant it, but emotionally, look, I just was not there yet. I needed time to process, to heal, to rebuild that trust. Forgiveness seems to operate on its own timeline, often out of sync with what we want or expect. And today, that's what we're tackling. One of forgiveness's trickiest aspects, the waiting. We've all been there, right? You're in this weird limbo after someone hurt you or you've hurt someone else. Even if you say, I forgive you, or I'm sorry, things may still feel off. Like maybe it's that teammate who let everyone down during the big game. You might have forgiven them, but you feel a bit of resentment every time you see them at practice. Or maybe a friend broke a promise. You have forgiven them, but you struggle to trust they won't do it again. Or flip it around. Maybe you're the one who messed up. You cheated on a test and got caught. You've apologized, but the trust wasn't magically restored. You feel like you're walking on eggshells waiting for something else to fall apart. In all these situations, we're left with this uncomfortable reality. Even if forgiveness has been offered or received, things haven't magically returned to normal. So we're left with all these questions. How long do we have to wait for things to be normal again? What if they're never normal again? Why forgive when things don't change right away? It's enough to make you wonder if forgiveness is worth it. If it's easier just to hold on to our hurt and anger. But what if there's more to the story? What if the waiting isn't just a frustrating side effect, but an important part of the process of forgiveness? If you're sitting there thinking, look, I don't know if I can or want to even do this. Well, you're not alone. Even Jesus' closest followers struggled with this. They wanted to know exactly how much forgiveness was enough. Specifically, I want us to look at a conversation Jesus had with his disciple, Peter. Peter was one of Jesus' best friends and the person Jesus eventually put in charge of the church. Their other friend, Matthew, wrote down how this conversation went. Check it out. Then Peter came to him and asked, Lord, how often should I forgive someone who sins against me? Seven times? No, not seven times, Jesus replied, but 70 times seven. To clarify, when Jesus talks about sin here, he's talking about any action that hurts our relationship with ourselves or others. So this applies to all those situations we've been talking about, betrayals, broken promises, letdowns. Peter might have thought he was being pretty generous here. At that time, religious leaders often taught that you should forgive someone up to three times for an offense. So Peter, it seems, was wanting to impress Jesus and went above and beyond by suggesting seven times. But in that moment, Jesus blew that out of the water. He said 70 times seven. That's 490 times if you're counting. But look, Jesus isn't giving us like a literal number. He's making a point. Forgiveness isn't a one-time event. It's an ongoing process. This is huge. See, Jesus acknowledged something we all know deep down, but often try to ignore. Healing takes time. Rebuilding trust takes time. Restoring relationships takes time. But Jesus acknowledged back then can still speak truth to us today. Like when Jesus said to forgive 70 times seven, he wasn't saying we should let people walk all over us 490 times. Instead, Jesus' message is about how true forgiveness often requires us to choose it repeatedly, even when it's difficult, and even when we don't see immediate results. See, basically, what we learn from Jesus' response to Peter is that forgiveness takes time. And the fact that it takes time doesn't mean it's not working. In fact, the waiting, the choosing to forgive again and again is often where the real growth happens. It's where we learn patience, learn to see things from someone else's perspective, and grow. It's like, I don't know, waiting on ice to melt. Yes, this is a random glass of ice that I have by my couch. No big deal, just go with me. Look, it just takes time, right? Like, no matter how much we might want it to melt, not that you really want ice to melt, but like, it's a metaphor. Okay, look, it doesn't always work like that. And the same is true of our relationships. Just because we apologize doesn't mean it won't take a while for the ice to melt. Just because they said they're sorry doesn't mean it won't take a while for the ice to melt. Just because we're beginning to receive God's forgiveness in our lives doesn't mean the ice will not melt. Maybe we need something more exciting than ice. Okay, one second. Here. Ice cream that magically appears next to your couch. Look, have you ever had to wait for frozen ice cream to thaw a little bit before you want to scoop it? Like, you know you want to rush it. You just want to like, but you have to have like, I don't know, like just like extreme Olympic strength to be able to dig into that carton and get some out. You have to wait a few minutes, and then you get impatient and try again, and it's not ready yet, so you put it in the microwave and it completely melts and it's gross. Like, that's how it works with forgiveness, not the gross part. The good part of waiting until you have ice cream that you can, you know, just eat. So good. When we first forgive, we may feel like that initial positive feeling. Just like we're excited to see that carton of ice cream. But the process of forgiveness is just like the process of waiting. It takes time. Some days you may feel better. And then you have this memory and it sets you back. Some days they may seem like they're opening back up relationally, but then they seem guarded again. Some days you may feel like you're being kinder to yourself, and then something happens and you slip back into the old ways of thinking. But one day you'll get there. The ice will melt. The ice cream will be ready. That's real forgiveness. Look, it's messy. It has setbacks, but it doesn't mean we should get discouraged on our forgiveness journey. It's just a normal part of the process. When we wait and continue to forgive while we're waiting, over time, we heal and we grow. So what do we do with all this? How do we navigate the waiting that comes after forgiveness? Let's try these four things. One, recognize that it takes practice. Forgiveness, like any skill, is a skill that gets easier with practice. Don't get discouraged if you have to choose forgiveness multiple times for the same offense. That's part of the process. At the same time, offering forgiveness like that doesn't mean you don't set boundaries or remove yourself from further hurt. Your safety is most important. You can choose to forgive while also not accepting mistreatment. Okay, two, ask for help. You do not have to do this alone. Talk to a trusted friend, a counselor, small group leader, trusted adult about what you're going through. Sometimes just, you know, talking about it, talking about our struggles can make them easier to face. Three, accept that things might change. Forgiveness doesn't always mean the relationship goes back to exactly how it was before. And you know what? That's okay. Sometimes, yes, forgiveness leads to a restored relationship. Other times, it leads to redefined boundaries or even the end of a relationship. The important thing is that you're free from the weight of constantly being angry towards that person. And four, remember, it comes down to you. Look, you can't control how the other person responds to your forgiveness. You can't make them change or make them feel sorry, but you can control your own choices. You can choose to forgive, let go, move forward regardless of what the other person does or doesn't do. And while it is up to you, you don't have to do this alone. Like, when we follow Jesus, God's Spirit is with us, helping us through each of these moments. Look, a while back, I had a falling out with a close friend. Details aren't important, but let's be honest, like, trust was broken on both sides. When we finally apologized and said we forgive each other, I thought everything would go instantly back to normal, but it didn't. There were awkward silences, and yeah, I still felt hurt sometimes when we hung out. I still found myself second guessing their actions. At first, I thought this meant I hadn't really forgiven them, or that they hadn't really forgiven me. But over time, I realized something important. The forgiveness was real, but the healing took time. It was a process. It took us time to rebuild trust, but slowly our friendship did begin to heal. It didn't look exactly like it did before. We definitely both changed, and our relationship had changed too, but in many ways, it actually became stronger. We learned how to work through conflict and how to communicate more honestly. And I realized something important. The waiting, as hard as it was, had been worth it. It had taught me patience, helped me become more empathetic, and made me stronger and more resilient. Most importantly, it taught me that forgiveness isn't a one-time event, but an ongoing choice. As we wrap up this series, take a moment and imagine something with me. Imagine a world where people understood that forgiveness takes time, where we gave each other and ourselves the grace to heal at our own pace, where we didn't expect instant results, but were willing to put in the work day after day to rebuild trust and restore relationships. Oh man, imagine how different our friendships would be, our families, our communities. That's the power of forgiveness. Like, not just the act itself, but the patient, persistent choosing of it again and again. So this week, and beyond this series, choose to trust. Trust God and embrace the waiting. And when you head to groups, think about your response to this question. What changes when you view forgiveness as a process rather than a one-time event?